This is an Alert to a Safe Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Sunday, September 14th, 2014. This week in security news, twice this week, Alert to a Safe subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding the run-up to a major expansion of military operations against Islamic militants in Iraq, Syria, and possibly elsewhere in the region. On Wednesday, President Obama provided a broad description, but little depth, on how the U.S. would be mounting a multinational effort to begin going on the offensive. These efforts would include the deployment of even more U.S. soldiers, an increasing tempo of airstrikes on Islamist ground positions, and work to further train and equip Iraqi military and Syrian rebel forces. Despite administration claims that there will be no U.S. boots on the ground, more than 1,500 U.S. soldiers are already in Iraq, along with hundreds more from within the special operations community. Alert USA sources within the Defense Department say these numbers could realistically grow to more than 5,000 before the end of the year. Defense analysts and retired U.S. military leaders all convey the same message that a significant contingent of U.S. ground forces will ultimately be needed in order to defeat the Islamic State. News reports late this week indicate that military leaders pressed for this option with President Obama, but were overruled. It is simply impossible to defeat the enemy using air power alone. Further, anyone within the U.S. military can tell you that in order to wage an effective campaign of airstrikes, you often need assets on the ground such as forward air or joint terminal attack controllers identifying and marking targets. They can't just be hunted from above. Next up is Syria. Since President Obama's national address discussing the formation of a broad coalition, several traditional allies, including the UK and Germany, have made clear they will not be participating in any military action in Syria. Further, the nation of Turkey, a NATO partner who shares a common border with Syria and Iraq, has also made clear this week that they will not allow airstrikes into either country to be launched from their territory. And late this week, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov slammed the idea of airstrikes in Syria, warning that the strategy may target not only areas controlled by Islamic State militants, but it will also serve as an avenue to quietly launch attacks on Syrian troops in order to weaken the government of Bashar Assad. Listeners will recall that exactly 1 year ago, President Obama was on the verge of launching airstrikes on Syrian government forces following accusations of the use of chemical weapons. So what does this mean to you? For starters, it is clear that the U.S. is again entering into what could turn out to be multiple years of additional overseas warfare, this time against a well-funded, well-armed enemy. Where is the funding coming from, you ask? The initial bulk is reported to have come from having overrun the Iraqi Central Bank in Mosul, as well as several smaller banks earlier in their campaign. This is being continually replenished from the sale of oil from fields now under their control. Their large supply of arms have come, in part, from weapons depots taken when Iraqi military bases were overrun. Those weapons depots were prepared for the Iraqi army by the U.S. and paid for with your tax dollars. As the Islamic State is constantly recruiting new radically minded individuals from across the globe, it is to be expected that conflict will spread to other areas in the region, most notably Saudi Arabia, which is the grand prize. It is also highly likely that the U.S. homeland, as well as that of our allies, will experience an increasing tempo of attempted terrorist attacks, not to mention the targeting of U.S. citizens and interests elsewhere in the world. Alert USA again stresses to listeners, just as we have done over the last several weeks, that despite a lack of any recent large-scale attacks on the homeland, this is not for a lack of trying. As the U.S. is preparing to engage the Islamic State in earnest, now is not the time to grow complacent. Alert USA strongly recommends maintaining an appropriate level of situational awareness when out and about and to be prepared for emergencies. You can find more information on this story, including links to our other recent reports describing the scope of the terror threat facing the U.S. in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. As has been the case for over 12 years, Alert USA continues to closely monitor the overall domestic terrorism threat environment and will immediately notify service subscribers of new alerts, warnings, and advisories, or any developments which signal a change in the overall threat picture as events warrant. In public health news, on multiple occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding the worsening Ebola outbreak. On Monday, the World Health Organization warned that Ebola infections are increasing at an exponential rate, and many thousands of new cases are expected this month in Liberia alone. The World Health Organization also warned that conventional means of controlling the outbreak are not working, and the number of cases and deaths have doubled in just the past 3 weeks. Disease modelers at Northeastern University and the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center predict as many as 10,000 cases of Ebola could be detected by September 24th. According to Dr. Ira Longini, a biostatistician at the University of Florida and an affiliated member of Fred Hutch's Vaccine and Infectious Disease and Public Health Sciences Division, quote, "The epidemic just continues to spread without an end in sight." Earlier in the week, President Obama described the outbreak as a national security threat to the United States and has authorized the deployment of U.S. military forces to the region to assist in setting up field hospitals and isolation units to provide protection for medical staff as well as other tasks in an effort to help the overall international response. Contrast this with the stunning revelation this week by the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General, which has found that DHS is, quote, ill-prepared for something like the 2009 H1N1 influenza pandemic or something worse, such as an Ebola outbreak. Quoting from the report, the Department of Homeland Security failed to effectively manage its stockpile of pandemic personal protective equipment and antiviral medical countermeasures. As a result, the Department of Homeland Security has no assurance it has sufficient quantities of personal protective equipment and antiviral medical countermeasures for a national pandemic response. It was also revealed this week that the U.S. government has been quietly transporting many more Ebola-exposed and Ebola-infected individuals to the U.S. than has been publicly disclosed. According to Dent Thompson, vice president of Phoenix Air Group, the specialized air ambulance company contracted by the State Department 5 weeks ago to bring two American missionaries infected with Ebola to Emory University, quote, "We have moved a lot of other people who have had an exposure event." Thompson states that medical privacy laws in his company's contract with the State Department prevent him from revealing this figure, though he does indicate that Phoenix Air has flown 10 Ebola-related missions in the past 6 weeks. The State Department refuses to identify the locations the patients were flown to, nor the names of the medical facilities where they are being treated. Finally, late this week, Michael Osterholm, the director of the highly respected Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, wrote a lengthy op-ed piece for the New York Times within which he discusses the growing global danger from this outbreak, as well as the strong potential for Ebola to become airborne. Osterholm states that viruses like Ebola are notoriously sloppy in replicating, meaning the virus entering one person may be genetically different from the virus entering the next. He goes on to state that the current Ebola virus's hyper-evolution is unprecedented. There have been more human-to-human transmissions in the past 4 months than most likely occurred in the last 500 to 1,000 years. Listeners are reminded that for several months, Alert USA and Threat Journal have been providing subscribers detailed weekly updates on the spread of the virus, U.S. government actions in preparation for the eventual arrival of Ebola in the U.S., as well as the overall response of the international community to the outbreak. We have also been repeatedly trumpeting the warning made several weeks back by Dr. Thomas Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control. Quote, "The arrival of Ebola-affected individuals in the U.S. is inevitable." We strongly encourage listeners to refer to this week's Threat Journal newsletter for links to those past newsletter issues. Therein, you will find a comprehensive overview of the threat, as well as some highly useful resources to help you prepare for and respond to an outbreak of Ebola here in the U.S. Additionally, we also remind listeners that less than 2 weeks ago, the U.S. State Department issued a warning for U.S. citizens traveling abroad that they may be subject to increased screening procedures, travel restrictions, and reduced transportation options in response to the Ebola outbreak. If you are traveling abroad either to or through the affected region, or anywhere else really, you may be required to undergo health screenings, be forced into quarantine, or even restricted from traveling for up to 21 days, depending upon the nature of the immediate threat or the decision of the Foreign Health Agency. The State Department makes clear that neither the Bureau of Consular Affairs nor U.S. embassies have any authority over quarantine issues and cannot prevent a U.S. citizen from being quarantined should local health authorities require it. As always, Alert USA continues to closely monitor developments with the spread of this virus and will immediately notify service subscribers of major changes in its spread to different regions, important notices and warnings by government agencies, or any other major changes in the overall threat environment which could impact you as events warrant. In travel security news, listeners are reminded that there are currently more than 36 formal U.S. government-issued travel warnings in effect for locations around the world specifically identified as posing significant risks for U.S. citizens. This is in addition to a worldwide caution specifically warning of the continuing threat of terrorist actions and violence against U.S. citizens and interests globally. If you are planning travel abroad, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, now more than ever, be smart about it and regularly check the U.S. State Department's travel website where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Sunday, September 14th, 2014.